Hey, good morning. I'm so glad you're here. Are you glad you're here this morning? My dad used to say, I'd rather be here than the best jail in town, you know? Yeah. Amen. You know, it's like some of you, like, it might have been a choice, you know, but we're glad that you're here this morning. Thank you for coming out to Christ Church. And let me just say, I'm just so thrilled about what all God's been doing in our lives and what he's been doing in this church. Man, he's really up to something big. I'm absolutely convinced 2020 is going to be our best year yet. And I just want to say we're concluding this 21-day fast today. And man, for those of us who've been kind of just drilling in on this, just trusting the Lord, Wednesday night's prayer has been so filled with the presence of God. And I'm honestly, like, I've been in church a long time. Some of the, what we've experienced two Wednesday nights ago was one of the most powerful presence. Like, did you know that if you're new to Christ Church, did you know that, like, you can actually sense the presence of God? Like, there, when there's something that happens and, like, the God of all the universe shows up in the room and all of his power shows up, you know there's something that changes in that moment. And, man, we desire that. We want that, and we want to just walk in that and live in that. And so we've been praying for the Lord to change people's lives and change our lives and change our community. And next Sunday, we're going to have a big opportunity to do it. And can I just talk to the folks from Christ Church? Because let me just tell you, if you're not from here, just fasten your seatbelt. Bring some people with you, because it'll be worth just showing up. It's going to be wild, you know? Like, if you've not ever been to Wild Church, next week you're going to want to come, because it's going to be wild. And just, you know, it's like I'm going to watch a house burn down. Just show up and... You know, and so it's going to be really awesome. And there have been a couple of folks over the years that have said, like, honestly, I'm like not a football fan. And so I'm praying for you to become a Steelers fan, first of all, you know. Somebody said it's the Super Bowl. I'm like, there's nothing super about it if the Steelers aren't in it, you know? But it's going to take place anyway. And next Sunday, we're just going to use it as an opportunity to get as many people here to hear a message about Christ that could possibly change their life. And you might say today, well, listen, I'm not a Super Bowl fan or a football fan. And, like, I'm not even sure if I want to be here for all that carrying on. So, and I get that sometimes, honestly, I understand that. But let me just tell you, we need you to be here to welcome the guests that are coming. We need you to be here. And so if you don't even want to come in for all the giveaways and all the stuff that's going to happen in the room, then will you maybe find a place to serve? Sign up and serve in children's ministry, or serve out in the cafe, or find a place to pray and pray that God will change people's lives. Will you do that with me? Will you just join up, get on our team for next Sunday? Amen. Because we think God's going to do some pretty awesome, awesome things. And one last thing, I'm going to get to the message. Pastor Tori did an awesome job last Sunday preaching on community. We've been focusing on several things. We've been focusing on children during 320, and we've been focusing on children. We've been focusing on community, and we're focusing on outreach, and I'm just thrilled about what God's been doing next Sunday. I mean, really, that's the deal. We're praying for outreach. This is it, for us to get out into the community, and then also, ultimately, and it's not just the only place, there's places to serve, and thank you for being a part of that. But he did such a great job. And I do have to say that while he was preaching last week, he gave me a little bit of pause to think about the fact that we had been praying for somebody to come and be membership life pastor here at Christ Church, never knowing that the guy that was coming was a part of a Mexican gang. You know, it's like just a little bit scary. Maybe we should have done a background check or something, you know? But he's awesome. And thank you for being here. Listen, I'm going to go back to the passage that we've been kind of leaning in to for the last 4 weeks. I never thought that I'd actually preach on the same two verses for an entire month. And so I want you to turn with me to Ephesians, the third chapter, 20th verse. Ephesians 3:20. That's what this is all about. The 3:20 in the year of 3:20 for us here at Christ Church. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now unto him. I'm going to just take a moment and I want to talk about the him. Who is the him? Like a lot of people, they talk about Jesus. A lot of people use the name of Jesus. Some people use it well and some people use it poorly. But it's the name of Jesus is powerful. The him that we're paying attention to here is Jesus, and now unto him, he has all the power and all the authority, and and many people have the wrong impression. I have to just say, they're uninformed about who Jesus really is. Like, they think of Jesus as, like, somebody who's far off and removed from us, they think of somebody that is just full of judgment that wants to do nothing but interfere in our lives. And the truth is, there's nothing worse, nothing further from that opinion. That he wants to be involved in our lives and bring our lives to the absolute possible best they can be. So Jesus, like, he loves us. In fact, the context of this passage, if you look, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. The foundation for who the unto him is the preceding verses. And I know I've read them before in this series, but just bear with me. I want to start in verse number 16. That he, the him, would grant you according to the riches of his glory. So he's going to do something according to the riches of his glory. And aren't you glad that he's working off of his bank account? You know, amen. Like the riches of his glory, there's no limit to what he can do. There's no limit to his riches, the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. He wants us to be strengthened, and there's unlimited power to that. And Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend all with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ that passes understanding. I've been in church a long time. I've been pastoring a long time. And I have to tell you, most people, as far as I'm concerned, their faith falls apart and they struggle with one thing. Are you ready? Knowing that God really loves them. If you were absolutely convinced that he loves you, trust would be taken care of. If you were absolutely convinced that he loves you, then your faith would be restored. Because, see, his love for us is what we work off of. It's not fear, because it's possible. Like, if you fear somebody, you only do what they want you to do when they're around because you're afraid of them. When I was a little kid, I stole some cigarettes from my aunt. And the postman was coming by, and me and my little sister Hope, we're up in the woods by our house. We're so cool, 7 years old, smoking cigarettes. And the postman comes by, and when the postman comes by, he sees us, and he's like, I'm going to your house, and I'm telling your mother. How about this? Back in the day when the postman actually cared, not that they don't, but like nobody cares anymore. So we knew we were in trouble. We didn't want to go home. And so it was dark. It was dark, and there, you know, comes time for us to go home. My mother, we hear, Mary, Hope, Paul, come home. So it's dark, and we're coming home. And my mother's standing out on the front steps of our house with a hairbrush. We're like, please don't beat me, Mom. You know? Okay, now here's the deal, is this. The dilemma with that is that's fear-based. That's the reality. It's fear-based. It was when I started to realize later on in my life that my mother had done things for me and taught me things to do in my life outside of that, because she loved me. See, when the hairbrush goes away, honestly, when the hairbrush goes away, you just go back and like, I'm going to get me some cigarettes from Aunt Milligan, you know? Because fear-based relationship, when the fear goes away, there's no relationship. But when it's based on love, it lasts. And so here, what we start to understand is that he wants our relationship with him to be based on love, and that the foundation of our life and what he wants to do in our lives is based on the fact that he loves us, that he may dwell in your hearts through faith. And verse number 17, be rooted and grounded in love that we may comprehend with all the saints. What is the width and the depth and the length and the depth and the height to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God? You know what I'm praying? I'm praying that you'd be filled with the fullness of God and that you will know that God loves you. I'm praying that there'd be an invitation from you to know and come to understand the fullness of who he is, that he loves you. I heard a story about a little boy that was abused. His father was an alcoholic, and the mother and sister, they were always afraid when the dad was in the house, and they were always afraid to say something because he would fly off the handle and he would hit them or beat them or yell at them. And so consequently, he had a neighbor boy that had invited him to come down, and then he was going to go to visit him, and he found out that the little boy's dad was going to be there. And the only kind of relationship he understood with the father was his abusive father. And so he was afraid to go into the house, and he sat down on the front step. And as he sat down on the front step, he heard them in the house with the father laughing and joking and carrying on. And he had never heard that from a father before. Today, for those of you who only know that God is a God of judgment and that he's a God of justice, let me tell you today, he's a God of love who actually dances over us and rejoices over us. He loves you. He finds delight in you. And he wants you to know that he loves you and has your best interest at heart. To know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled. If you know the love of Christ, then you can be filled, are you ready, with the fullness of God. Like all that he is to dwell in you, the fullness of God, the fullness of God. I've been struck by that phrase in this passage. The fullness of God. Like, we love to talk about aspects of God. We love to talk about that Jesus is human, that he came to this earth, and he identified with us, and we identify with him because he was human. Was it, what was her, the Morissette woman that sang, he's a slob like one of us? Like what? Like, there's something about us that we felt like really good. That was back in the 90s, for those of you who were alive in the 90s. But we take comfort in the fact that he ate like one of us, and he walked this earth like one of us. He wept like one of us. He died like one of us. That he's fully human. There's something about that that makes us relate to him, and I get that. But listen, that's not the fullness of who God is. There's another aspect of God. He was fully man, and he was fully God. He was fully human and he was fully divine. In fact, Colossians, the first chapter, says that he is the invisible God, that he's the God that created all things, that all things are held together by him. Nothing exists without him. Everything was created for his pleasure and by his pleasure. And did you know that you were created for his purpose? Like, he is for you. Like, there's a reason why you live today, because he has something for your life. And the awesome thing about that is he has all the power to perform it, because he's fully God. And so, like, we love the humanness of who he is, but we forget that he has the power. He has the power to speak planets into existence. He has power to call the dead to life. He has the power to heal the sick. He has the power to restore what would appear to be unredeemable. And he has the power to do what we would consider to be impossible in our lives. He has the power to do that because he's not just human. He's fully divine. He has the power to help you get started. Some of us need to get started. He has the power to help you keep going. He has the power to help you finish this thing. He has the power to pick you up when you fall down. He has the power to put you back together again. How many remember the little childhood story? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Remember that? Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But let me tell you who can put you back together. Jesus can put you back together. He has the power to take a broken life. He has the power to take something that seems to be impossible, and he has the power. While he relates to us in his humanity, he has the power because he is fully God, and he has all the power. It belongs to him. Amen. Yeah, if you're going to praise him, go ahead and praise him. So in the context of love, and that he has all the power, and it's all his glory, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, working outside of stuff that we can't see or understand, all that we ask or think according to that power that's working in us. What is the power that's working in us? Are you ready? It's his power. It's not our power. It's his power working in us. And I love this. There's an inference in this statement that he has the ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, in conjunction with, according, in tandem with, like it's connected to his power working in us. See, he doesn't want to just like give you gifts and then run away. Like he wants his power to work in you so that you will become the person that he's called you to be. If you feel like that you're out of power when it comes to a marriage, if you feel like you're out of power when it comes to addiction, if you feel like you're out of power when it comes to just your will, or what, if you feel like you're out of power when it comes to finding the thing that God has for your life, let me just tell you, it's not going to be accomplished by your might or by your power. It's going to be accomplished because his power is working in you. He wants to work in you. The word power in this phrase, and let me just, according to the power that is at work in us, did you know that the word power here, it's the word in the Greek, it's dunamis. And dunamis, it means might, it means ability, it means strength, it means miracles. It's actually used 170 times in the Bible. 77 of those actually mean the word that we derive from that word is dynamite. It's explosive. Has anybody ever been here around the dynamite explosion? Anybody here ever been there? I was here. You could tell I'm old now because I was here back when they blew up the old city hall. Anybody remember when they blew up that old city? I was 3 blocks away, and I could feel the concussion of that 3 blocks away. It's because the dynamite, it had impact. And let me just say, he's saying that he has power that has the ability to change things. It has impact according to the dynamite that's working down inside of you. No, it's not our power, it's his power. Let me talk to you about how that takes place. Jesus, when he was going back to his Father, here's what he said in the book of John, the 14th chapter. He said, I'm going to go back to the Father, and I'm going to pray that he sends a comforter to you. And in verse number 15, it says, he'll send a comforter to you, and he will help you, and he will be with you forever. And I want you to hear this. Verse number 17, he says, he's the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. They don't understand because it's not tangible, but there's something that's taking place still just the same. But you will know him, for he will live with you, and he will live, somebody say these words, in you. He will live in you. He wants his power not just to show up in your neighborhood or just show up. He wants his power to be in you. He's working in you. See, the enemy's not happy when the power of God, when everything that he is, the unimaginable, unsearchable love of God and the unthinkable power of God that puts universes together, are you ready? It's not just up in heaven, and it's not just in Jesus. He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, with all of the power of God, lives in his children. Like, that dynamite power is in you, and it's in me. And the devil hates that. Like, he hates to give up control. It's the first thing he does. Like, you know why he wants to, he hates to give up control? Because he knows that if the power of God is working in you, then you have the potential to do damage to his kingdom. So he wants to stop you from doing what you're supposed to do. So every time you start to press into God, every time you start to get close to God, have you ever noticed that when you start to, like, I'm gonna pray more, I'm gonna seek the Lord more, it seems like all hell breaks out. Anybody besides me ever identify that? And here's the reason why, is because Satan does not want to give up control. There's a story in the Bible in Acts, the 16th chapter, where Paul is traveling and he comes into a community, and there's a little girl who's prophesying. She's actually a fortune teller, and she's telling everybody, like, they're doing miracles and signs and wonders are taking place, and she starts to prophesy because there's a crowd around, and so she's going to take advantage of it. It's almost like she's in the crowd handing out business cards, you know? Like, these are the prophets of the Most High God. These are the prophets of the Most High God. And so she's starting to... Finally, Paul discerns what she is like. She's using, like, the power of God for divination. And so Paul discerns that, and he calls her out on it, and he casts the devil out of her. And here's what takes place. At the moment, the Bible says the spirit left her in verse number 19. I just want you to read this. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they were profiting off of her disadvantage. They were profiting off of her being in bondage. They were her masters, her owners, and they were mastering her life and making profit off of it. When they realized their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. And they brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews, and they are throwing the city into an uproar." You know what I'm praying for Christ Church? You know what I'm praying for your life? I'm praying that you'll be so filled with the Holy Spirit that whatever is controlling you, that the Spirit of God begins to work in you, and you will throw your environment, your community, your home into an uproar, because the power of God just showed up to keep you from being in captivity. I'm praying that, like, instead of you being troubled by the enemy, you'll become trouble for the enemy. That when he comes after you, like, when he sees you coming, like, he'll be like, "We're not gonna mess with them." Because, see, that's the kind of power that's down inside of you. And the interesting thing about this was, she was a slave. She was a slave to men who owned her. And did you know that there are things in your life that they control you? In fact, I would tell you there are people in your life that want to control you. There are people in your life that do not want you to get close to God. There are people in your life that would love to see you mastered by anything else but Jesus. What's controlling you? What's controlling your thoughts? Who's controlling you? And yet, here's what it says of these men who are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are throwing our city into an uproar. Satan would love to control you, but listen, he seizes control. But you know what we do instead? We give Jesus control. Satan steals it from us, but we give it to Jesus. See, we surrender. Satan wants us to surrender to him. He wants to take us captive, but Jesus wants to set us free. And so what we have to do is, honestly, we have to surrender to the work of Jesus and allow his spirit to come in and work in us so that we would know the fullness of the power of God. Give him control. I'm hoping somebody today will give him control. Give him control in your thought life. Give him control in your home. Give him control in your finances. Give him control in the places that you go, in the people that you're talking to, and that you would become trouble for what's trying to control you. And that you will live according to the Spirit. Give him control. You know what? I've been thinking about this. You know what we want to do, honestly? What we want to do is we want Jesus to be a house guest. We want Jesus to come over for dinner. You know what happens when you have people come over for dinner? When people come, like, all the stuff that you live in, you know, all the stuff that's on the countertop. I don't know if it's you, but like my mail, I don't know how I get so much mail. I'm one person in a house, and it seems like it just floods under the door while I'm gone. All ends up on my countertop, and I'm like, then somebody calls up and said, like, I'm coming over. So, take all that, get a box, you know, put it all in a box. Go have to go in the living room under the coffee table and get my shoes and the shirt that I was going to wear and was going to iron and then decide to wear something else, and it's hanging over the kitchen chair, like I got to go and grab that. And you know what I do? I put all that stuff, I take all that stuff and shove it in a box, and then I take it in a back room. Anybody else have a back room? You know what I'm talking about? Like, I put it in the back room and lock the door. First night, I was having a new connection group a couple of years ago, and Linda and Kim Place Aunts, they attend first service. They came, and while we were having dinner, and like the love of God's flowing, we're all laughing and carrying on, and we're having dinner together and getting ready to have Bible study. Linda gets up and goes to the restroom, and a couple of minutes later, she comes back, and she leans over the countertop, and she says, oh, I see you have one of those rooms full of junk, too. She went in the wrong room. And so here's the deal. In our lives, you know what we do is, like, we want guests to come. We want Jesus to come as a guest and pull closed on all the junk that's in there. We want to close the door off and say, Jesus, you can come and you can have dinner with me, and you can stay in this part of the house, but don't go in that part of the house. But see, you know what? He cannot be contained. Like, you know what he's going to do? He's going to go in the room. He's going to go through the box. He's going to start to look through the box. He's going to go, honestly, he's going to pull up your phone, and he's going to go through the texts. He's going to look at the magazines. He's going to go on the internet, and because he will not be contained. We want him to come over as a guest, but he wants to come in. He wants to come in and dwell in his fullness. And do a work inside of us. And Satan does not love that. Satan hates to give up control. He hates to give up territory. And I'm just going to challenge you. Are you going to bring trouble to him, the troubler? The one that wants to say that, like, you're the one creating the uproar. He would love to hold you captive. You have to give him trouble. And the only way that you can do that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's also another place in the book of Acts, in Acts the 17th chapter. Paul, in the next chapter, he's going along, goes to Thessalonica, ends up going to somebody's house. His name's Jason. And then he actually leaves, but the authorities come. And this is what they say of Paul and Silas and the apostles. These are those who have turned the world upside down. I want to live the kind of life, honestly, that's so full of the Spirit that we turn the enemy's world upside down. I want to be a pastor of a church. I want people around me that will allow God to come in every room, in every place, and search it out and live down inside of us. And when he lives down inside of us, we'll go out and we'll turn the world upside down. If we've ever lived in a day that needed to be turned upside down, it's this one. And the world is waiting for us to be manifesting the presence and the power of God. Amen. It's the reason why the devil hates the church. This is one of the things I know. In case you don't know this, the devil hates you. He does. I'll just go ahead and say it. For those who are here today and you're playing footsie with the devil under the table, let me just tell you, that will not, he, He doesn't want to, honestly, he doesn't want to play football. He wants it all. He wants all your life. He wants all your joy. He wants all your peace. He wants all your power. He wants everything about your life. He wants your marriage. He wants your home. He wants your children. He wants your health. He wants everything about you. And there's a reason why he hates that, is because when you work in power and live in power, you do damage to his kingdom. He wants the church to be powerless. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power at work in us, to him be glory in the church. I have to tell you, like, I'm tired of dead church. I'm just tired of dead church. I have no intention of being a part. I have no intention of being a part of a church where people are just okay with living powerless lives and coming and being powerless worship. I have to say, like, I want to be a place that's so alive that we bring trouble to the troubler, that we turn the world upside down, that we can work in what God calls us to do. And it would be exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. In fact, did you know that the Bible says that we should be advancing on the work of the enemy? Like, how about this one? This is one of the things that I think about. The Bible says, Jesus says in Matthew, that the gates of hell would not be able to prevail against the church. Do you know what that means? That means, honestly, they've locked themselves in. You know, they're behind the gate. The gates of hell would not be able to prevail against the church, which means that we should be advancing to tear the kingdom of darkness down in this world. That we should be making a difference filled with the Spirit. The devil hates when he loses control. He hates the church, and he hates when we walk in the Spirit. And let me just tell you, you have a choice. Either you can walk in the Spirit or you can walk in the flesh. It's non-negotiable. It's one or the other. You can walk in the power of God and walk and live the life and get to where he wants you to, or honestly, like, you just walk in the flesh. And the Bible is really clear that in the flesh, like, all that stuff, it just brings death and destruction. But in Christ, it brings life. I've come that you would have life, and life abundantly, as verse John 10:10 says. Or you can live in death. Now, here's the awesome thing about this, and I'm going to close in just a few moments. I want you to hear. I've been thinking about this, that when Jesus came to the earth, do you know what he did? Like, we had an enemy, obviously, Satan and hell and death. And when people died, like, they actually didn't go to the Father. They actually went into captivity. We presume, by the way, Scripture says, maybe in the center of the earth, but They were not with the Father. I mean, he's everywhere, but they weren't in heaven, because a redeemer hadn't come, and so they were not redeemed so that they could be eternally in the presence of God. And so here they are, and the Bible says that we were captives to death and hell and the grave, and Jesus came to this earth to defeat death and hell and the grave. And you know how he did that? Jesus actually went inside of death. He went into death, and from inside of death, he took that dunamis, that power, and he blew death apart. He blew it apart. Okay, can I just talk for a second? Second service, you're getting something that first service didn't get. You say, like, well, I'm like, I've experienced loss of a family member. Do you know what you're experiencing? You're experiencing grief. But your family member who's in Christ, they know the victory that Jesus has over death, because they got to the other side and looked back and said, oh, death, you didn't hurt a thing. Like, oh, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Because, see, they understand that Jesus went into death and he blew the power of death apart from the inside. You know what he tells us? He says he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to come and dwell inside of us. That the same power that was in Jesus that went into death and blew death apart, that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, not as a companion, not as a visitor, not as a dinner guest, but he comes in and dwells out, and he searches out the places in our heart. He searches out the death in our heart. He searches out the things in our heart that are not full of life. And the same power that Jesus used to destroy death from the inside, now Jesus has the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and he destroys the power of darkness from the inside out. Hey, he's not just a partner walking alongside of you. He's searching out your heart, and then he's giving you the power because he dwells inside of you, and he blows it apart from the inside out. I'm so glad that I'm a child of God with his Holy Spirit living inside of me. But let me just tell you, that's not the end of it. In the same way that Jesus came to this earth and he went into death and blew it apart, and then he comes into us and he blows the destruction of the kingdom of darkness apart by living in us, he didn't tell us just to be happy and be comforted and just like that. That's it. God bless you. Like, it's going to be good. Everything's going to be awesome. He told us that now with this power living inside of us, that we had to go into the heart of the earth. Like, we had to go into the heart of our communities. We had to go into prisons. We had to go into hospitals. We had to go into neighborhoods and into schools and into workplaces. And the power that's in us, we have to go into the very heart of those places, and we have to blow darkness apart. It's the reason why we're filled with the Spirit. It's not just for us to have joy and goosebumps during church. It's for us to go in and do damage to the kingdom of darkness. Amen. So let me just tell you today, we've been focusing on children. We've been praying about children in our church, that they'd be filled with the Spirit and that God would send workers and children's pastor. And we're praying for that. But we're praying the community to be awesome. And I hope you're going to come for culture night tonight. But let me just tell you, we're also praying that the power of God would live in us and dwell in us, and that we will get up out of this place. We'll go into the darkest places. That's what Jesus did. We'll go into the places where there's captivity. We'll go into the places where there seems to be no hope, and that the power of God that's in us will be so alive in us that when we go into those places, we blow the darkness. We blow the power of the enemy. We bring trouble to the troubled. We bring trouble to the troubler who wants to create issues in our life and hold you captive, hold your neighbors captive and your family captive and this community captive, our nation captive, and that we would be so alive in the Spirit that dynamite would work in us. Now, let me just talk to you. I'm going to bring a word of clarity about this. I'm like, are you telling us to go in and use dynamite on people? No, just in case there's a misunderstanding. Let me just clear up Daniel. Daniel lived under captivity. He lived under three pagan kings, and yet he had such a great reputation that when it came, like, everybody looked at Daniel, like, what's Daniel have to say? There were three Hebrew children in captivity, and yet God's power was so demonstrated that the king paid attention. So let me just tell you today, we're here, honestly, we're here to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. But we have to do it filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I'm praying that you'll say yes to the Holy Spirit, that you'll allow him to come in and do his work in you. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundant, who knows what God would do through Christ Church if we get filled with the Holy Spirit and then in that dynamite walk out of this place and make a difference in this world. Who knows what this community could look like, what your family and your work could look like. So he's sending you, he's sending me in the fullness of the Spirit. Will you pray with me today? Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus to this earth, and Jesus, that you came and you defeated our enemy, and where he tried to have control in our life, you destroyed the control of the enemy. And then you sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us to destroy the work of the enemy. And now, Lord, we need to be filled with your Spirit. We need your power inside of us so that we can do what you've called us to do in this world, to walk out of this place and take trouble to the troubler. that we would walk out of this place and we would do damage in darkness. That we would walk out of the place and be filled so much with your dynamite that the world could not do anything but see the fullness of God, the love of God, the promise that you have for us, that we would know you as an eternal loving Father. And so now, Lord, I ask you that you'll use us here at Christ Church of Orlando as people filled with your Spirit. Fill us to be overcomers. Fill us to do your work. In the name of Jesus. Everyone, will you stand with me this morning? Okay, so I've prayed for you. Now, here's what I want you to do in these next few moments. I want you to invite the Holy Spirit in. I want you to invite the Holy Spirit in the places where you're struggling, in the places where, like, maybe you're weak or where you need power. Invite the Holy Spirit to come in places where you need to be encouraged or strengthened or where you need to do something for the kingdom of God. I'm going to ask you in these next few moments that you will invite the Holy Spirit to come in the fullness of God, knowing that he loves you and that he wants to dwell in you in fullness to accomplish everything that he has for you. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you, like a cup, to put your hands out in front of you. And I'm going to ask you, just begin to pray. Lord, fill me. Just fill me with your Spirit. Begin to fill me with your power. I need all of you to be in me. So now, that's a prayer you have to pray. I can't pray that for you. Will you pray and receive? Pray and receive now the power of God. Pray and receive the fullness of God. Pray and receive the courage of God. Receive his Holy Spirit. Receive it. Receive it. Receive his gifts. Receive his gifts. Receive his strength. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. Some of you are going to walk out of this place different. Some of you are going to walk out of this place. He's filling you now. He's filling you now. Just empty yourself of you and your stuff and allow him to come in. Give him control today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, will you go ahead and raise both hands up and will you praise him for the power of the Holy Spirit, empowering you to be victorious, but then empowering you to go and make a difference in this world, changing your community, changing your home, changing your family, changing where you work, changing your school. That he's sending you, we're sending you in the name of Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, to go and make a difference. Yes. And bring change to this town. Bring change to our state, to our nation, in the name of Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for his power now. Come on, thank you for his power.